From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, a look ahead to tonight's governor's debate at KERA and a look back on last night's lieutenant governor's debate. First, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has confirmed the first U.S. case of Ebola, and the patient is in a Dallas hospital. The patient, who's not been identified, is in an isolation ward at Texas Health Presbyterian in Dallas. The unnamed man left Liberia September 20th to visit family here and had no symptoms. A week later, he felt sick enough to go to Presbyterian Hospital. He was admitted last Sunday, according to Edward Goodman with Presbyterian.
Ironically enough, in the week before this patient presented, we had a meeting of all the stakeholders that might be involved in the care of such a patient. And because of that, we were well prepared to deal with this crisis.
CDC Director Thomas Frieden says the center is sending a team of experts to help hospital and county health officials treat the patient and track down anyone who might have come in contact with him.
We're stopping it in its tracks in this country. We can do that because of two things: strong healthcare infection control that stops the spread of Ebola, and strong core public health functions that trace contacts, track contacts, isolate them if they have any symptoms, and stop the chain of transmission.
Frieden says the approach is to cast a wide net to stop Ebola's spread. We turn now to KERA's Stella Chavez, who's at the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital, where doctors have been talking with the media about the case. Stella, what are they saying?
Hi, Justin. Well, doctors wouldn't give too many details about the condition of the patient. They would only say that he is in isolation, that they are taking every precaution possible, that there is no risk. They stress there is no risk to anybody in the hospital or anyone who has been in the hospital in the last few days, because the disease, Ebola, is not contracted through the air. The staff here is wearing special gowns, gloves, masks, surgical masks, and special protective shoes, because the only detail the doctors did give about the patient is that he came in with symptoms of diarrhea.
Do we have any idea of how many people might have been exposed?
No, all we know is that he came into contact with folks in the ER room. He had visited the hospital on Friday, but it was unclear. They were not sure at the time that he came from Ebola. From Africa. And so he went home, and they said, just like many other patients who come here with symptoms, you know, flu-like symptoms or similar symptoms, he came back on Sunday, and that's when they knew it was time to put him in isolation. They got more details and found out that he had recently traveled to Africa.
That's KERA's Stella Chavez live from Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. Thanks, Stella.
Thanks, Justin.
KERA's Lauren Silverman talks to a local infectious disease specialist at Baylor Medical Hospital.
Infectious disease isn't new to North Texas. This year, there's been West Nile, whooping cough, even the measles. But
things like Ebola are not commonly seen in Dallas, Texas.
Dr. Cedric Spock studies infectious diseases. He says Ebola is an often fatal form of hemorrhagic fever that gets its name from a river in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where it was first detected. Although there's no proven cure, doctors can provide supportive care, fluids and pain relief, before symptoms become severe. Spock says Texas Health Presbyterian should be capable of handling an Ebola case.
The difference between a rural hospital in West Africa and a 21st century United States hospital is so massive. We got to really beat ourselves on the chest and say, we have excellent hospitals here. And so if there's an individual in Dallas who's unfortunate to have Ebola, best chance of surviving is to be at a hospital in Dallas.
Several aid workers have been treated in the U.S. after contracting Ebola in West Africa. Fort Worth-trained physician Kent Brantley contracted the virus in July and recovered after a range of experimental treatments and 3 weeks in an Atlanta hospital. Another American doctor is currently being treated for Ebola in an isolation unit near Washington, D.C. Spock says isolation units in the U.S. have procedures and technologies to prevent transmission of the disease.
Everybody wears a mask, and the other thing is when they're in the room actually has the appropriate ventilation that discourages the transmission of the infection.
Dallas County health officials have already begun an investigation to reach out to people who had been in contact with the Texas Ebola patient. Spock says epidemiologists will now have to track down the patient's travel details like airline flight information and layovers.
And then that's really where the national organizations like the CDC become very important because they're able to coordinate that kind of a sequential investigation to see where the individual had been.
The CDC says it's received many calls from health departments and hospitals about suspected cases of Ebola. A few tested positive for a different infectious disease, malaria. None were confirmed to have the Ebola virus until now. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
The leading candidates for governor will meet tonight in the studios of KERA. Republican Greg Abbott and Democrat Wendy Davis will square off in their final debate in just over 90 minutes. Thanks to a state judge's ruling last month that the Texas school funding system is unconstitutional, education is sure to be a hot topic. The debate starts at 8. You can watch on KERA television or on KERANews.org or listen here on KERA radio. We'll be live blogging and tweeting, and you can ask the candidates a question. Send your suggestions via Twitter using the hashtag Texas Debates or email debates@kera.org. The candidates for lieutenant governor took one jab after another in last night's debate. KERA's Sam Baker talked with Texas Tribune executive editor Ross Ramsey about whether it will make any difference in the month left leading up to the election.
Ross Ramsey, thank you for being with me.
You bet. Happy to be here.
Listen, what was at stake for either candidate in this debate?
The person running behind, in this case, that's Letitia Vanderpoot, the Democrat, wants to make some points and show voters that there's an alternative to whoever they've had in front. The person in front generally wants fewer debates, fewer chances to make mistakes and lose their lead. And in this case, that was Dan Patrick, the Republican.
Vanderpoot made a big deal out of Patrick not releasing his tax returns. Does that kind of issue resonate with anyone if you don't have some type of alleged wrongdoing to go with it?
The if is the thing there. You know, if the voters think that you're hiding something in your tax returns and that it's something that might change their mind about how they're voting, then they generally want to see it. She didn't offer anything that I heard that basically said, you know, if we see his tax returns, then you'll know the secrets of Dan Patrick.
Did either candidate take a stance to sway an undecided voter? I'm thinking of Patrick's push for a property tax cut for homeowners.
You know, the problem with his property tax for homeowners is that he's also talking about paying for it with increased sales taxes. And so it's sort of a double-edged sword. If you think that property taxes are too high and that you'd rather pay a little bit higher sales tax in order to cut them, then you're with him. And if you don't, you're not. I think, you know, both of them kind of tread lightly around the question of property taxes. They know voters are really tired of high property taxes right now.
Did any of them make any gains, do you think, with education or immigration?
Hard to tell. In Austin, you know, we sort of live in this bubble where we've heard their positions on these things for the most part a number of times. And it'll be interesting in the next couple of days to see how voters digest this and whether, you know, you can tell by the way the candidates are talking and running around, you know, for the rest of this week, what seemed to catch out of that debate.
Was there much interest or excitement that you could discern about this race before the debate?
You know, it's been a remarkably unenergetic election season in Texas. There's a couple of big races, but for some reason or another, the voters just aren't engaged by this set of candidates or this set of issues. They haven't, you know, there's not a big public clamor right now about this election, but it could materialize in October. Sometimes these things gel late.
Ross Ramsey, thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
Programming notes. We'll stay with All Things Considered to get the latest on the Ebola story until 8 o'clock. That's when the final debate between Wendy Davis and Greg Abbott begins in the studios of KERA. You can hear it live on KERA Radio or watch it on KERA TV or KERANews.org. We'll also be live blogging and tweeting using the hashtag Texas Debates. You can like KERA on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.